The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
I just want to ask the question, who really cares? To save a world in despair. Who really cares?
It follows a water crisis in Flint that began 4 years ago when the city started drawing water from the Flint River, exposing thousands of people to the toxic metal.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
25, it's going to be a black male in a white t-shirt.
There's far too many of you dying.
14 million more
you
Americans
know
would
we
be
got
uninsured
to find
next year.
Way.
This deadly mass shooting
to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Good morning. What's going on? My name is Ann Rostosky. I'm the president of Thomas Paine Fellowship, and I'd like to welcome all of you here today in the sanctuary and those who have joined us on Zoom. It's a beautiful day. It's the last weekend of summer, I'm afraid. So it's perfect weather for that and for you to be here with us. So I'm very excited. My wellness coach, Wanda Cooper Harris, is our speaker today. Harris Cooper, sorry. Reverse those names. And she's going to do a great job. So, without any further ado, oh, I do want to mention a couple things. If you're new or visiting for the first time, please, we recommend that you come to more than one service because our services do vary a good bit from week to week. And next week, our minister, Reverend Andrew Weber, will be here. And if you're new to Unitarian Universalism, there is a literature rack in the lobby, which during coffee hour, you're welcome to pick up some brochures and things to learn more about it or ask questions of any of us. Okay, so whoever you are, whoever you love, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, thanks for being here today and walking with us for this hour. Now I will turn it over to Joanne Walker, who will do our chalice lighting this morning.
That's good. I'll do it from here. That way you don't have to do me at this stool. Love Can Transform the World by Maureen Killoran. Love is the aspiration, the spirit that moves and inspires this faith we share. Rightly understood, love can nurture our spirits and transform the world. May the flame of this chalice honor and embody the power and the blessing of the love we need, the love we give, the love we are challenged always to remember and to share. And now we'll light the peace lamp. May peace be with us.
And with all the people of the world.
I won't fall down the steps.
Please. And now we will have our gathering song. It's kind of a new one, and I found it online, and I really liked it. It's kind of one of those things that you remember, you know, it kind of sticks with you. An earworm, I guess they call it. At least it was to me. So please rise as you're willing and able. And if you'll notice, I staggered the chairs today in an attempt to have people not block each other. And then you can still see the words up there. So it's an effort. We'll see if it works. So please rise as you're willing and able.
A little bit of love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little bit of love, and I'm on my way. A little love, a little love, a long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little bit of love, and the sun comes shining. A little love, a little love, a little bit of kindness and someone smiling. A little love, a little love, a long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love.
Little drops of rain can trickle down into a puddle. Then the puddles get together, making streams that make a river.
The rivers fill the valleys with the roaring and the rushing. Then the little drops of rain have made a wide, 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 wide ocean. A long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little love.
And now we have Sheila, former school librarian, will be reading a story for our children. If anyone would like to come up, that would be good. You could see the pictures in the book before they're up there.
Just you and I, huh? That's okay. So I'm going to share a story called We're All Connected, Caring for Each Other and the Earth. I better put these on just in case. We'll be twins. We all live on one blue dot spinning in space. We are all part of one human race. We have hopes and dreams and love in our hearts. We are stronger together than we are apart. So why all the fuss to compete and compare when it feels so much better to connect and to share? Want to read this same page for me? I think your voice will carry. Shout it out like you're on the playground.
We can share on our side or down in the dumps. We can share our joys, give high fives with fist bumps or whatever.
When we're seen and heard, trust blooms and grows. We are all connected. Kindness ripples and flows. That one? You do that side, I do this side.
Speak up for others and quit and embrace. We all make mistakes, we can give others grace.
We have more in common than we may believe. We are all connected. We all love, we all grieve. We can celebrate differences, lend a hand, learn from each other, take a stand. Your turn.
We're all connected. Let's raise our voices.
We can work together. Okay.
We can work together to make brave choices.
I didn't need to step on you. Protect the water, care for the land, respect all beings. The earth is grand.
Nature gives her bounty. She's gentle yet mighty. Stand in awe of her force and preserve her beauty.
All right, we get to see the pictures up close. Let's look under rocks and explore vast skies, honor the mountains, and chase butterflies.
Let's go hunting for rainbows, plant more trees, grow a garden, and be friends with bees.
The earth is our home and needs our care. We all play a part. We breathe the same air.
We belong to the earth. It is not ours. We are all connected. We are made of stars.
We are all connected. Take care of each other. Take care of the earth. We are all here together. So up here, I have touchstones. And on each touchstone, there's a word that the kids can be or you can be. And then on the back, there's a little information about the touchstone. So if you want to choose a couple, maybe choose some for yourself and your siblings.
Or you
want to hand them out? Just grab some and start to hand them out.
No.
What do you think? Is your teacher here today? Give that to your teacher. She's in there. Some of the words are affable. Affable, bold, connect, cooperation, dream, explore, friendship, gracious, goodwill, grace, hope, initiative, inclusion, join, justice, kindness, linked, listen. Okay, awesome. Morale, nice, observe, participation, query, renew, respect, selfless, support, teamwork, teach, uniqueness, verdant, vocalize, warrior, yodel, yonder, xenophile, and zen. So you help yourselves to one back the room if you'd like one. Yeah, plenty here. Got a couple? Mom, dad, and okay.
Now we will sing the children out to their class. Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. And now we're going to listen to a song that reflects the theme of our sermon today. It's a little long, so just bear with it, and then I'll tell you about Wanda.
Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People
y'all.
Killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong?
wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Yeah. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know.
Yeah, we did end it a little bit early. It goes on and on. So today I'm pleased to tell you about Wanda Harris Cooper. Wanda is a Master of Divinity candidate on target to graduate from Palmer Theological Seminary next year. She is also an inquirer with the Presbyterian Church USA. She can tell you what that is. I don't really know. And she's intending to pursue ordination after graduation. She has an eclectic background, however. She's a licensed insurance professional with experience in various programs. Her passions are dance and wellness. Wanda is my wellness coach. She is a prior dance artist. She was with Philodanco, which I'm sure some of you are familiar with. And she's taught in dance studios in Philadelphia and the surrounding counties. As a wellness coach, she currently leads people to their wellness goals. So I'll turn it over to Wanda. Thanks for being here, Wanda.
Well, hello, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you, Anne, for that lovely introduction. And thank you for inviting me here to speak to you to tell you what God has placed on my heart. Well, first of all, I am a Christian, and I know you here at Thomas Paine have a pluralistic approach to worship and to religion, but I am Christian. I do stand on that tenet, so I just want to let you know that up front. So before we get started, it helps me if I settle my spirit. So will you pray with me for a minute? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, and let the words be heard with a transforming spirit so that we can have a deeper love for you and all of your people. Amen. Love, 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 love. Love is something we all know about. It is one thing that all human beings, regardless of who you are, where you are, or what you do, we all have love in common. Love has been present throughout the ages. Love exists in all cultures and with all people. Love is the thread that weaves us together. Or does it? In the English language, the word love is universal. It is used for all sorts of things. For example, I love the color purple. We know we have purple hair. When I see the color, it gives me joy and it makes me smile. We can say we love a song, a book, or a teddy bear. We use love to describe how we feel about our grandparents, our grandmom, our car, and our dog. We use love in romantic or erotic natures. It is safe to say that we will love or use the word love for all of them. But it's different. The meanings are different. Our culture, family systems, and traditions often dictate our definition of love and our behaviors concerning it. We find examples in music and movies, right? The Beatles told us what? All you need is love. Right. The movie, The Love Story, told us what? Love never means what? That's right. Philosophers and scholars also chimed in on love. One of my favorite philosophers was the ancient Chinese philosopher Lao Tse. He said, being deeply loved by someone gives you strength. Your strength while loving someone deeply gives you courage. So when you love, you get strength But when someone loves you, you get courage. Who said, where there is love, there is life? You didn't know you were getting a quiz. Who said that? Mahatma Gandhi. Virgil, the Roman poet, said, love conquers all things, so we too shall yield to love. Erich Fromm, he's a German psychologist, sociologist, and philosopher, said that love isn't something that is natural. Rather, it requires discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and overcoming, I like to put it this way, the N word, narcissism. Overcoming narcissism. It isn't a feeling, it is a practice. So Erich Fromm focused on love as a verb rather than a noun. This reminds me of going to the doctor. Doctors practice. Lawyers practice. If we were to get a societal grade on the practice of our love, what do you think we would get? I think we would, in some areas, like we saw in the video, I think we would fail horribly, because we have morphed into a society that has forgotten how to love and holds to an anti-love. Yes, anti-love is a real concept. It's called philomasia, which simply means the hatred of love. This anti-love is crawling through our society like a wildfire that consumes the unprotected heart. It perpetrates hate and disdain. Since love may not be natural, hate may not be natural either. You know that we are not created to hate. Society teaches us to hate, and then some of us get stuck in it. Why do we hate over love? Many believe that hate is birthed from fear. Look at the politics today. Fear tactics are used to stir emotions that lead us to phobias that turn us away from love and point us to hate. Fear pushes us to look at people who may be different or think differently as inferior or even threats. We have spawned into an intolerance that stirred the spirit of the anti-love and pushed some of us over the edge. The scary thing about this is that we don't even know that we hate. We don't even know that our behaviors are hateful. We have become so overwhelmed by fear that we justify hate and we embrace intolerance and the anti-love as normal. We see it in our systems, in our families. Some of our spouses are in hate and not in love. We see it in our schools. We see it on the streets. We see it in the cities and towns. Is it safe to surmise that it's easier to hate than it is to love? This philomasia, to me, is the root of all things ugly in society. I believe that this is where that horrible, horrid, highly contagious disease, ism, originated. You've heard of it. The symptoms are racism, terrorism, materialism, sexism, and ageism. The ism festers the contagion of hate that oozes out of the metaphoric open sores and contaminates everything that it meets. Add a dose of pride, greed, envy, lust, gluttony, and wrath. And now we have another strain plaguing our country. I wonder what it's called. This strain is called nationalism.
While historically, nationalism helped promote a positive and unifying connection in our country, now nationalism weaponizes religion and the perpetrators use it to gain power. The symptoms of nationalism are division, xenophobia, violence, and hostility toward others who are outsiders. If this ism is allowed to go to epidemic proportions, it can threaten our democracy and even the world as we see it today. Eli Wiesel, he was a Holocaust survivor, author, philosopher, professor of humanities, and he even won a Nobel Prize, said, "The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. Indifference is defined as a lack of interest and enthusiasm. Could this mean that when we are indifferent to love, we just don't care enough to love? We are too self-centered to care about one another? Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We love men not because we like them, not because of their attitudes, not because the ways that appeal to us, but we love them not because God loves them." Oh, friends, we do not love because someone told us to love. We love because of God. And if we are to love, then we ought to care wholeheartedly. What is the essence of love? What's the essence of love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful. It is not proud. Love doesn't dishonor others. It is not self-seeking or self-serving. Love is not easily angered. And love keeps no record of evil. Love rejoices in truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. And to me, love is sacrificial. We hear these words often at weddings. Have anybody ever heard those words at weddings? Paul wrote those words in a letter addressed to the church in Corinth. This church was in the city of Corinth, was a pretty large city, something like Philadelphia. It was a hub of trade. It was on a coastline. There were people of all kinds of ethnicities and religions. It was a melting pot in this part of Greece. Like us today, many of us today, the people of the Corinthian church were struggling. Are we struggling here today? I would think so. With division, morality, and loving one another as a family of believers. They needed to be reminded that no one is better than another. Differences should be celebrated, not rejected. And people should not be vilified because they look different or they think differently. You see, love is just not tolerance of one another. It is acceptance of one another despite and because of the differences. Friends, to me, love is the creator breathing life into the created and saying, "This is good." Each creation is uniquely and wonderfully made. There are no two exactly alike. From the first human being who ever walked this earth to the last, there's only one me and there's only one you. There's only one me and there's only one you. I think Some of us, they should have really broke the mold from the beginning and they weren't be here, but that's just my opinion. They may not have been needed to be here. Oh, I digressed a bit. I believe that our mere existence is due to love, from love, and within the framework of a mystical love that we cannot fully fathom. The Creator loved us so much that He gave us the sun to light our way, and the moon and the stars to shine at night. The color purple that makes me smile. If you're a Christian like me, and this is my belief as a Christian, that the Creator loved us so much that He gave His Son, who I believe died in atonement for my sins. The great Maya Angelou once said that love liberates. It just doesn't hold on because that is ego. Love liberates. The Creator, out of love, let go and gave the created the freedom to grow, to learn, and to love. Unfortunately, because love has set us free, we are free not to love. We are free to dwell in that space with the anti-love, fueling ourselves with intolerance, indifference, unacceptance, prejudice, and even hate, which has weakened our immunities, leaving us susceptible to the isms. I tell you that all these characteristics, intolerance, indifference, unacceptance, prejudice, and hate, are not our natural ways, because I believe rather it is what society has taught us. It is through indoctrination, what the media tells us, what the world tells us. Children, while naturally inquisitive of others who are different, are not hateful, right? We have seen footage on social media of two children approaching each other from distant sides of the street. One is black, one is white, and they're very little. As soon as they see each other, they take off running. And they meet in the middle, like that, and in a big embrace, and they almost knock each other over. You've seen that. You've seen that. Anybody see that? Yes, you said, I've seen it. Would you surmise that they are happy to see one another, and that this is their beloved friend? They were not yet tainted by the societal divisions of who and how we should love. And they have their own definition of love and friendship. I saw another one, two elementary age schoolboys on social media, one with blonde hair and blue eyes, and the other was a deep brown African-American boy. Interestingly, they claimed to be brothers and insisted that they looked just alike. They demanded that their parents buy them the same shirt for picture day. You see, in their eyes, they were twins. They loved each other with a brotherly love. According to the 2020 Gallup poll, 68% of Americans, 68% of Americans identify with a specific faith, while 1% is Unitarian Universalist, because you know you're small. 6%, small in numbers, small in numbers, and you know that, you're small, a small loving group. 6% identify as non-Christians, 22% have no religious affiliations, leaving 3% unanswered. These are interesting statistics to me. If 68% of Americans follow a religious doctrine, whatever it is, then why do we have a problem with love? So I did what a reasonably prudent thinking person would do. I Googled it. I went to the internet and I found an article in Faith Counts that compared love from the lens of six largest religions: Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Sikhism. The article contains that love is universal. It is the primary theme that stretches across each faith tradition. Go figure. Christians strive to love one another with an agape, unconditional love, over eros, the romantic love, or storge, the love of family. In Judaism, the Torah teaches about love from multiple words too. Hasid is the love of God, steadfast love, merciful, loving kindness and goodness. They are instructed to love their neighbors and strangers. Go figure, love the stranger. So before I go a little further, I just wanted to say this. I'm a West Philadelphia girl. Born and raised. So I may enunciate some words that are outside of this kind of wrong. And if I do, you can see me afterwards. In Hinduism, there are multiple stages of love. Bhakti is devotional love or an attachment to a personal God. They believe that the more love you give, the more it comes back to you. And there is Sharinga, the love that extends to all creation and connects to God. In Buddhism, Maitri is the love derived from acts of kindness. Friendship and Upasya, the love that is inclusive and accepting of everyone. In Sikhism, the core love is Pyare, which means love for God and God's creation. There is Nimrata, love as humility. No one is better or more important than others. They believe that when your mind is full of love, you can accept anyone, everyone, as God's creation. Wow. Think of that. The article also said, in each faith, love is more than just a feeling. It is the currency of a believer's relationship with the divine and with others, expressed through, here it is again, action. Action. So we heard earlier that love is a verb. And here it is again, love expressed through action. Like that. I believe there is a strong commonality regarding love that should connect the different doctrines instead of separate them. I don't know about you, but all this stuff really sounds good.
Right, this sounds good.
This sounds good, but it doesn't sit well with me. All of this theory paints a picture of puppy dogs and roses. Just everything is just coming up roses. Not true. But in reality, we struggle and fail at love. In reality, we do not see love as a common thread within our faith traditions that should link us. In reality, we rather focus on the differences than the similarities. In reality, we rather argue over religion and doctrine, pointing out what is wrong with another person's traditions instead of seeing what is similar. In reality, we do not work as love as an action. So we fail over and over again. Since it would appear that we know better, I ask, where is the love? Where is it? In 2009, you saw a snippet of the Black Eyed Peas song that they released that provided a clear picture of the reality of love in this country. I ask, where is the love that is infused within the religions that we just heard about, created by people? They ask the same question. Where is the love? The lyrics of the song talk about the ism, right? Terrorism, racism. They speak to discrimination, hate, death, and greed. The songwriters asked a question. Can we, that's us, who believe and have values, can we practice what we preach. There is a song that we sing in Christian churches, and the title is, They Will Know We Are Christian by Our Love. Based on the love claims of each tradition, I would venture to say that all of us can sing the same song and substitute the word for Christian and sing, They Will Know We're Jewish, or Hindu, or Muslim, or Buddhist, or Sikh, by our love, friends, by our love, and not by our rhetoric, and certainly not by our isms. Another point, if I may, I remember the popular song in the 80s. Anybody alive? And there's some folk here that weren't even alive in the 80s. But some of us who were alive in the 80s, you may have remembered this song Tina Turner made popular. And she said, I gotta say it like her, she said, what's love got to do with it? You know that song, right? Yeah, you know that song, right? So she said, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? How many of us here have children? We have some folk with children. There is no love like the love of a parent and a child. So if you didn't have children, then I believe somewhere along the line, you may have been a child. Possibly. And you may have felt, possibly, the love of a parent. Possibly. There is no stronger love than the love of a parent and a child. I have seen parents heartbroken over the loss of a child due to addiction and death by violence or overdose. I have seen parents overcome and heartbroken over the egregious act that landed their child in prison. And I'm just thinking of the kid who shot the other children at the school. Could you imagine his parents? I have seen parents heartbroken when they see their child headed down the wrong path toward the edge of the cliff, and the only thing they could do is watch because their relationship had been severed. Heartbreak happens when you have that storge. And if you remember, I gave three examples of the Greek, agape, eros, and storge. Storge is the love for a child, your familial love, your family. If to me, again, my faith tradition points to a creator whose heart is broken, a creator who loves us so much and we don't reciprocate it. We have a weak love, a feeble love, a pathetic love, a sad love. A love that is inward focused, a love that is self-serving and not sacrificial. We don't truly love one another or love even the church like we're here. I think, and I stood out there in your lobby there, and read your materials. I think that your faith tradition recognizes that love is the center of all that is good and pure. Love is the stronghold, the glue that binds and not divides. The Creator loves unconditionally. The Creator demonstrates an agape love. You see, we are imperfect. Oh, just turn on the TV. The political ads show us just who we are. We only love with compassion and kindness those who think like us, those who look like us. We don't possess an unconditional, all-accepting, non-discriminating love. So I ask again, where is the love? Do you remember the Burt Bacharach Hal David song? I know some of you will. What the world needs now is
love.
That's right. And then some of the lyrics go, it's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but
for
everyone. Friends, we talked about the different types of love through the lens of major religion. We talked about the anti-love, that hate, and how this was left, wait a minute, the hate, and how this has left us vulnerable to the disease, the isms, racism, you know, sexism, materialism. We talked about how the creator would possibly feel about the created. And what if the 68%, of people that in that 2020 poll truly practice their principal tenet or value regarding love? According to your website, Unitarian Universalists affirm unconditional universal love as a foundation and grounding for our actions in the world. You say, we strive to be of service to our communities and advocate for change on the local, state, national, and international levels. You say that you stand on the side of love. Is that right? That's what you say. So, what does friends, what does love really have to do with it? When you say it is the center of your entire value system, that's what you say. This is the common thread weaving through the values of, what are your values? Interdependence, pluralism, justice, transformation, generosity, and equality. Then you understand just how important love is. So where is the love? If you don't know, then perhaps you're focusing in on the wrong word or definition for love. Are you focusing in on the agape love, that unconditional love? Or are you focusing in on the love, like you say, I love this book, or I love my car? You must think of the agape love of the New Testament, or the Nimrata love modeled by the Sikhs, or the Upaska love modeled by the Sikhs, or the love of the Buddhist, the Bhakti, the love of the Hindus, or the Hasid, love of the Torah, or the Al-Wadud, the most loving modeled by the Muslims. Anne knows me as a wellness coach, and so does Elise sitting here. And in my classes, they know that we always have what at the end of the class?
Homework.
Homework, or at least something to think about. So think about this world. Picture that. I feel like with Sophia on the Golden Girls. Picture it. So picture this. This world is grasping for love like a fish out of water. Grasping for love. Love connects and binds everything. Without love, your values would fray and become loose. Your values would fray like this piece of headband that I was using to hold my hair together. That's what happens when you don't have love. What binds you together and holds you still falls apart. When you pull it, you run the risk of separating the entire piece. Without it, you run the risk of the anti-love. We run the risk of falling victim to the isms. So going back to L'Etat, without love, we lack the courage to stand for what is right and good. So friends, here is your assignment. Love has everything to do with it. Friends, we should remember the words of Martin Luther King Jr. and say that we love because the Creator loves. We must understand that we may not love perfectly when we're not perfect, but we can get better. Remember that love is a verb that requires us, like doctors and lawyers, to practice. As the Black Eyed Peas sang, we need to practice what we preach. As we strive to live our lives with purpose and try to increase our love actions, here are some steps to take. Seek out opportunities. So actively seek out opportunities to express love and kindness. Start by looking at one another with an inquisitive, childlike acceptance. Go ahead, let me see. What does it look like? Some of you need to practice that a little more. Take the societal spectacles off that attempt to taint or vilify others. Look through the lens provided by your values and really see how the Creator made us all unique and wonderful. Friends, we must understand that love is the vaccine for the ism. If we're going to combat racism, ageism, sexism, genderism, and that nasty nationalism, then we need, like the flu shot or the COVID booster, we need to get our shot. On an individual level, hug someone you haven't seen in a while. Call someone and tell them that you love them. Forgive those who have hurt you. Or the big test, the big test, reach across the conservative or the liberal table and stop the nasty rhetoric. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, as they say, but that's why it's the big test. Stop the nasty rhetoric. Or when the nasty rhetoric comes in, turn the page. Turn the page. As my kid would say when he was little, Mom, I'm like a duck. When they tease me, it rolls right off my back. Let it roll right off your back. Practice love, regardless how the world tells you to feel and to behave. Family, and because I'm here one time, you're now family. Family, love, because God loves. And I say amen when I'm done. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. There we go. She's tiny, so I gotta get her. Steph's still ready.
People killing, people dying, children hurting, hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? And would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. Cause people got me questioning, where is the love?
We leave time in our service each week for those among us who are feeling a joy that is lifting them up, or a sorrow that is weighing them down, or a major life event or other thing that they feel the need to share with the community, to have an opportunity to do so. And everyone who is here with us in person today and everyone who has joined us on Zoom are more than welcome to participate. If you're here in the sanctuary, we will ask that you go to the front where we have our wireless microphone and introduce yourself and say your piece. Brevity is the soul of goodness right now. And if you are on Zoom, you may use the raise hand feature, which you should find under reactions on your Zoom client, which will let us know you'd care to speak and will allow you to unmute and share. And if you're on Zoom and you would prefer not to speak, you can also put a message into chat and we'll read that out for you. We can bring this time of sharing to a close. Ordinarily, we would sing Spirit of Life, but in the interest of time, we may forego that today and go straight into our closing words.
Our closing words today come from Carrie McDonald and Teresa Cooley. Love is hard. Love for people, especially those who are different from you. Love that says, I see you as a person. Love that says, let your unique light shine in the world. Because each of our souls touches the divine mystery. Love that says, we're on a journey together, and my fate is tied up with yours. Love that grabs you and won't let you go until your whole life is dedicated to siding with love. Love that changes the world. Love is hard. Do it anyway. And now we will have our closing song. Please rise as you're able. This one is in the hymnal. If you'd like to read the music in the gray hymnal, they're back by Mike. But the words will be on this screen. You may be seated. And now I will read Words to Extinguish the Chalice by Maggie Lovins. We extinguish this flame, but not its meaning and mission in our hearts. Our time together has come to an end. Go in peace. Be of service to one another. And may you move through the world in love for all of your days.